Hello and welcome to everyone listening to the Written in Melanin podcast, the place where you come to get your weekly dose of melanated creativity. I'm your host, CM Lockhart, an author of fantasy books featuring Black girls who aren't all that nice and the owner of the Melanin Library, an online database of books written by Black authors. And in this space, I share with you everything I've learned on my journey as a Black and indie author. I'm glad you're here. And today, you guys, I am here with DeAndrea Johnson. She is an educator, a spoken word artist, a writer, a technologist, and she has spent over 13 years in the publishing industry, and she is now currently the writing programs manager for the Hurston Wright Foundation based in Washington, D.C. And today, you guys, she is here to share with us a little bit more about the foundation, what they do, and share some resources that authors can utilize. So, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. I was so taken by you when I met you in LA. So I'm flattered to be asked to come and do this today.
I'm excited to have you on. I want to take a moment and, you know, we have, you know, your title, but kind of give our listeners an idea of who you are.
Well, I am, you heard my name, DeAndrea Johnson, the Writing Programs Manager for the Hurston Wright Foundation. I started with the foundation actually last year in January. I interface with more universities and researchers and technical editors and publishing in that respect. With the foundation, there is a focus on Black writers specifically, and we're Black-centered. Our focus is ensuring that we support Black writers, and in that respect, it's much different. However, being a Black person, being a Black writer, also having experience as a teacher, I understand the importance of Black writers and getting a chance to encapsulate the voice and experience of Black writers and in the creative space and also in the nonfiction space. So,
amen. Because
so I've been in all of those aspects. So I've been a teacher teaching high school and teaching about novels to being editorial assistant and editor for academic journals and then being a programs manager for advocating for writers. So that's pretty much my journey.
I love that you've done all of it, because it's just like, I feel like for me, if y'all have listened to the podcast, y'all know that me and teaching did not mesh. We were oil and water. That was not for me, not my calling, right? I accept that as part of my life journey, right? But there is also something about being on the other side of academia, being like sharing the knowledge that kind of makes you look at the world and look at how you think about things differently. Because when you're tasked with teaching someone how to do something that you feel like you do innately because you've been doing it for so long, it kind of makes you, your brain think a little bit differently. And you mentioned that you were teaching novels and teaching how to write. And so I can only imagine what that was like, especially since you did it on a high school level, where it's not like, oh, I'm teaching you letters, because I taught second grade. So I was like, we're talking like how to write a sentence, right? Just one solid sentence, right? But, you know, high school is different. It's like you're at the point where it's just like, okay, let's get your thoughts. Let's make this sound good. Let's elevate this. You're really the foundation for a lot of creative writers, because a lot of people talk about having that one teacher that was just like, no, you're good at this. Like, you've got this. So how did that lead you to academic writing? And then I also want to talk a lot about the Hurston Wright Foundation, but I kind of want to talk about that part of your journey for just a second too.
I actually went the other way with the majority of my experience in academic publishing and then becoming a teacher for maybe like 4 years. Okay. And the excitement with that was, in nowadays, it's a little bit different than when I was in high school and I was learning to write. One, I was in honors English. So I think I had a different experience than when I became a teacher and I was teaching general education. And so the perspective was different, and you're also dealing with a different generation. And what my focus was really about getting them to understand the why. Why are we reading this book? Why do you need to write in a particular way? Why are we even doing critical analysis? Why are we analyzing these pieces? What does that mean to you as a high school student? Mm-hmm. More than let's just graduate and get out of here.
Yeah. And honestly, if we're being 100% real, as I like to be on this podcast, there are a lot of authors in their adulthood who probably need to also ask themselves why, so they can think critically about their stories, their characters, their plots, their settings, all of it. Because one thing that I've noticed just in my own journey of like offering coaching, because even though I'm not a teacher anymore, I can do like one-on-one coaching with adults, because I feel like there's something very freeing in being like, you're an adult, do what you want to. I'm just giving you advice, right? There's something very freeing in that.
Yes.
But one thing that I've kind of noticed a lot, especially when it comes to writing stories with the intent of like this story being the one that's ready to go out to the world, is... okay, when you're ready to take it to the next level, when you hit a wall, it kind of goes back to exactly what you just said. Let's take a moment and think about why. Let's ask these deeper questions. Why is this character doing this? And dig deeper than, oh, it fits the plot. Okay, but why does it fit the plot? Does it fit who they are? Does it fit the backstory that you've given them? Does it fit, you know, their personal goals and what they're trying to accomplish? Because you may have in your mind as the author who sees it omnipotently that, hey, they're trying to defeat the giant dragon terrorizing the city. Mm-hmm. And your character sees it as, I'm just trying to survive. I'm trying to get out of this moment, right? Mm-hmm. So digging deeper is something that is like fundamental, I think, to really understanding a good story. So I think it's really cool that you were the kind of that pivotal moment for at least a generation, at least a class, right? 4 years. That's enough to get through from from freshman to high school, right?
Yes, to see them to graduate. It was exciting, yes.
So I'm glad that you were there to kind of encourage them to dig deeper. Hopefully that's something that stays with them. But shifting away from teaching, let's talk about where you are right now, because I know that there are a lot of listeners who are like, this is their first time even hearing about the Hurston Wright Foundation, because I know that for better or for worse, I didn't know anything about it until I met you in LA, and I was like, wait a second, you said this is for black writers? I'm a black writer, please tell me more.
Yes. I'm glad that you asked me about that, because you know, teaching actually is a good bridge for my passion for the Hurston Wright Foundation, because I've been on the side of having the conversation of equitable curriculum, having students wanting to see themselves in the text that you're presenting, which makes the Hurston Wright Foundation all the more important, because we have a bevy of Black students that are attending schools, but how much of those students are really getting to see themselves in the text that they're reading? Mm-hmm. So we have to have someone writing them in order for them to experience and interface with these different experiences, because many of them may only know their neighborhood, their area, even though we are in the information space, they may still be relegated by the way algorithm is only seeing what they interact with over and over again. But this curriculum provides an opportunity for them to see other experiences as Black people. So with the Hurston Wright Foundation, our mission is to discover, mentor, and honor Black writers. Mm-hmm. In each of those spaces, we offer different programs that help us to discover Black writers, whether you're with our workshops or you go to our courses or our events and readings and panels. We get to see new authors, or you get to hear about new pieces of work that you may have not known about, or you get to interact with other writers because you're in a space of a workshop. The mentoring, we now have a coaching component. Once you're in these workshops, the workshops are conducted by well-known, award-winning authors. So these are people that are practitioners, not just in theory. You know, I could tell you what to do, but I haven't done it. They are practitioners, and those relationships tend to continue outside of the workshop, and then honoring through our awards program. Mm-hmm. So we're all out there. We're out in the community. We're also doing classes, and we are giving awards. We are awarding Black writers as well.
I love that.
So that brings my passion to this platform.
I love it in every sense, because from the very beginning of starting my platform, I have always been a huge advocate of, you need a community, right? And you need someone who is, like you said, one of the things that I learned, I don't know whether it was at A&T, because I went to HBCU, shout out to them. Something that I remembered very clearly is that when you are finding people in your life, you need someone who is slightly above you to be a mentor, someone at your level to be a peer, and then someone slightly below you who you can mentor. And you need all those people in your life in order to really be successful at whatever it is that you're trying to do, generally speaking, right? And so when I talk about building community, one of the things that I try to touch on is the fact that when you're building your community, you meet people who have already done it. Having a practitioner in your corner, someone who knows kind of where the pitfalls are, someone who can be like, hey, I hear you, I see you, but the idea that you have in your mind isn't necessarily how this actually works in reality. But then also having someone in that same phase where it's just like, yeah, I feel you in the frustration. Like, I also want to achieve these things. We're not there yet, but we're getting there. But then also having somewhere you can pass along the information, because it's really important not to gatekeep, to be like, okay, I got in, so surely you can get in. It's like, sometimes you have to be the key that allows other people to walk through. You can't just take advantage of the opportunity. But all that being said, I'm excited, because I'm also, as you can see, Melanin Library. That's kind of my spiel, so slight plug.
Yes.
If you've never heard of the Melanin Library, it's an online database of books written by Black authors. It's a free resource so that if you are looking to read diversely, you can do so. And we have merch, so get into it. I'm excited about everything that you said, because I feel like there needs to be more conversation about Black writers supporting other Black writers, especially in this current cultural climate where there are a lot more people who are aware of the discrepancy in publishing in the industry, but aren't necessarily wanting to take action for it. And that, as a Black author, can kind of leave you in a space of being like, okay, but where can I go to talk to someone about the things that I'm specifically facing? Because even if you want it to be the same, even if you believe it should be the same, that doesn't necessarily just make it so.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That really was the focus of our founders, Marita Golden and Clyde McKelvin. The organization is over 30 years old. It started in 1990. Marita Golden is a prolific writer herself, a professor. And Clyde McKelvin was a businessman, or is a businessman, who also understood the importance of supporting Black writers. So they created this foundation as an answer to the inequity that continues to happen in the publishing industry. We have statistics on our website reflecting how 90% of the people that you are going to interface with in the Big Five publishing companies are over 90% white. The editor, the acquisitions editor, the person that markets the book, almost everyone that you encounter will be a white person. It won't be a person of color. So how do you present your story, your perspective, to someone who may not have that experience or perspective or understand where you're coming from? And your book may be rejected just from lack of understanding, not necessarily skill or that you have a good story. So they wanted to break down those barriers of what we would call gatekeeping. That's how this foundation was birthed, through connections, partnerships, and friendships with other Black writers and people that believed in the work. From Elin Harris, prolific writer of the 90s, to Terry McMillan, really establishing this foundation to where we are today. Our foundation is headed by our executive director, Dr. Khadijah Ali Coleman, who is the poet laureate of Prince George's County. So you have people that really love the work and the creativity of Black people.
And that is so necessary. Y'all don't understand. Y'all don't understand. I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably do. But at the same time, I'm excited because like I said, as a writer myself, finding out that there are services, coaching, workshops, a community that you can tap into is honestly game changing, especially like you said, we're in this age of information. And even so, finding resources like the Hurston Wright Foundation is still more difficult than it should be. So just knowing about it is game changing. People who understand the industry and who are going to talk to you, I'll say on the real, because something that I feel strongly about is one of the reasons why whenever I talk to people, I always encourage them to, like, if they're choosing a college and, you know, they are a Black person, to heavily consider an HBCU, because you are surrounded by people who understand what it's like to navigate the world as you are expected to. And I feel like the Hurston Wright Foundation is very much that for the writing and publishing world. It's like, these are people who have navigated and are navigating and can help you navigate in a way, because how to present yourself when you are a Black person with a Black story in a predominantly white space, it does require moving differently. And if you are listening to this podcast and you are not a Black person, first of all, welcome. I hope you feel safe in this space, learning something, hearing our perspectives, but also understanding that this is our perspective and it's not something that is isolated, because prior to, you know, meeting DeAndrea in California, never met her. And this is both an experience that both of us have had in completely different generations, completely different circles. And this foundation was birthed out of the reality that this is something that has been experienced on so many levels by so many different people that they were like, we have to address this. So if you are listening, be mindful that it's not an isolated experience. It's not an exception. This is the rule. And anyone who doesn't experience this is very fortunate to be the exception.
Absolutely.
So that being said, can you tell us a little bit more about the coaching services? Are there any like free coaching services or any free resources versus the ones that are paid versus are they time sensitive? Do we have to be in Washington, D.C.? Like how do these work?
We recently began our coaching services with our coach in residence. She was actually our writer in residence last year. B. Charisse Moore is a prolific writer herself, who has published with HarperCollins, who also has self-published, also has a book, Conjuring Worlds, that is a textbook that's used for curriculum in homeschooling communities. When I say that she's writing picture books to YA novels to curriculum, she is the writing coach, and she's been in the writer in residence. She currently has a literary agent, so she can speak to pitching your work, how to query your work, getting an agent, what's the process in publishing with the Big Five, what's the process in self-publishing. She's also a poet, so she can tell you what to look for, what they're looking for, what your work is like. These services are for a price. It's $250 an hour. You have to submit your work beforehand. So you should have a full manuscript before you submit. She will look at the first 20 pages, and then that way she can really give you the optimal feedback. She will review it. You'll set up a time. By the time that you meet, she will have everything ready and what you would need and questions. There will be an evaluation. So then you will get the full, you will fit in as much as you can and within that hour to set you up to be successful for the rest of your manuscript. Like so that. you can continue to book with her, but you're getting someone in the industry that's been in several capacities and has evaluated your work before you meet with them. To get that. So, and many people don't get that opportunity to have someone that's in the industry to really evaluate your work.
And that's what I was going to say, because the thing is, especially when you are someone in the writing industry who positions yourself as someone who wants to help others, you do get a lot of things pulling on your time and pulling on your attention, mm-hmm. especially when, like you said, she's still active in this industry. So there are still things outside of this that have to, at times, take priority. And I've seen a lot of coaching services on the internet. It's kind of the reason why I, you know, offer mine the way that I do. But people who are like, I can help you. And the things that they offer are extremely generic. They are not listening to you or what it is your specific goals are or what it is that you are trying to accomplish with your story. Even if everyone is, let's say everyone's traditionally published, what people are looking for out of their career is not always the same. And the same applies to indie publishing and to self-publishing. So to have someone who's like, hey, I'm going to read your manuscript. I'm going to come with an evaluation. I'm going to come prepared so that you're not wasting an hour, or I'll even say 15 and 20 minutes explaining your book or, you know, what you're trying to do. That's already handled. So that hour, that 60 minutes of her time, you can get the most benefit out of it. So I love that. I know it's paid, but also, if you're listening to this, it's something that I have said before and I will say again. When you're serious about your career, there comes a point where you have to put some skin in the game, where you have to invest in what it is that you're doing. If you want to be a professional basketball player, you're going to have to buy some shoes and a basketball at some point in your life.
I think we have to begin looking at writing. I don't want to say that writers take it for granted, but I think sometimes the conversation around writing is almost like, oh, I could just put words to page and just throw it out there. But it's the same thing in any craft that we're talking about. Yeah. So if you're a singer, you're going to take vocal lessons. You're going to continue to practice. You're going to learn the song. If you're a musician, you continue to practice. You get a teacher. Invest. If I want to be a doctor, I have to invest in the education. As a doctor, there's still the professional development that you do because the industry changes, the technology changes, right? Exactly. So as a writer, the industry changes, the ways that you write, what people are looking for changes, and who you are as a person change. So what may concern me at 20 years old and what my writer's voice is at 20 is not the same voice at 40 because I have a totally different experience. And I'm like, hey, I'm dealing with this. How do I go about expressing this idea at this age on this platform versus when I was 20? And there was no social media. There were no cell phones. So I'm looking at life totally different at this point. So the professional development aspect of it, it's still needed, even as a seasoned writer.
Absolutely. And DeAndre's not going to say it because she's nice and she's professional. So I'm going to say it for her because I've been saying it all year long, apparently. I said it on the Melanin Chat, season 5 return, and I said it on my last interview with Antoine Foyt Sr., so you can go listen to it if you want my full, unbiased, unfiltered opinion. But what is she saying, you guys, is that we are leaving mediocrity behind in 2023. We are not bringing it into 2024 in the future. So if you are going to come into this space and you're going to call yourself a professional and you're going to be like, I do this professionally, what we are saying is that it doesn't have to be paid, but we are saying that your time, your energy, your effort, your skills need to be honed in this, that it needs to be invested in this, that you have to put into it what you expect to get out of it, and that there are a vast majority of authors who are content to be where they are in their craft, to be like, this is good enough. What we're saying is this conversation applies to you if you're one of those people where you're like, I want to thrive. I want to be the best I can be. I want to take my writing to the highest level that it can go. I want to be the best version of this author that I see myself being, that I can possibly be. That's who we're talking to. And let me also say this. I'm not mad at you if you're good with where you're at. This is not a judgment. But I'm also saying that there is a difference between wanting to improve your craft and wanting to just sell more books. Those are completely different priorities. And if you want to focus on selling more books, that's a thing. That's cool. Not gonna fault you for that. I mean, this economy, mm-hmm. yeah, I feel you, homie. But also, when you focus on the root of the problem, when you focus on writing a better book, when you focus on getting better at your craft, then you don't have to focus so much on selling your book because it'll sell itself.
Your audience will find you. I think I can't remember who said that, but it was like, your tribe will find you. In one of our courses, I want to talk about that too with our workshops. The coaching is virtual, so you can be anywhere in the world and still receive this coaching.
Okay, that's
and,
good to know.
You submit your manuscript on Submittable. If you have an account in Submittable, you generally can find other journals and mm-hmm. other places to submit through Submittable as well. So that could be one of your resources if you're thinking about submitting work to be published, mm-hmm. is finding it through Submittable. But also that is where we accept submissions as well. And this would be a virtual coaching session.
Okay, so that's good to know. And just as a reminder, you guys know that there will be links to all of this in the show notes below. If you're interested in looking more into the foundation, into the coaching, into the workshops, into the awards, there will be a link in the show notes. Or if you're watching this on YouTube, it'll be a link in the description box. Trying to stay focused because there's so much that you guys offer. We touched on the coaching, the workshops. Are those also virtual or are those in person?
So this year, all of the workshops will be virtual. In the past, there has been two types of offerings. Mm-hmm. So we have a virtual Writers Weekend, mm-hmm. a virtual Writers Week, and we had a week in person that was held at Howard University. Mm-hmm. That was last year. We also have DC Youth Writers Oral History Program that we're doing with high school students. Mm-hmm. The workshops are competitive. You have to apply. The workshops are a maximum of 10 because you also receive one-on-one sessions with your instructor. Mm-hmm. These are also people who are award-winning writers who are prolific in their respective genres. So we have poetry, nonfiction, fiction, screenwriting, and I feel like I'm missing one. We do have a research methods workshop that's actually taught by Zora Neale Hurston's niece, mm-hmm. Lucy Hurston. Those are a week or a weekend, can be virtual, limited to 10, and also you get one-on-one option, which is a coaching component.
Awesome. So if you're listening to this, basically whatever you write, there is likely a workshop or a coaching session that will mm-hmm. work for you if you are looking to hone your craft. And I'm going to add this caveat. I said what I said, but I'm not saying it to step on anyone's toes. I'm just saying it to hopefully push anyone who's listening to be their best self, because one of the things that I would love to see more is just more books that are amazing. Right. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we all go into this chasing freedom and imagination and wanting to write the story of our hearts. And then somewhere along the way, we kind of file down the sharpness of our imagination because we're like, mm-hmm. okay, we need to fit it into this nice, neat little box that the rest of the world is going to accept. If you are unsure of how to get to your story to the point where you're like, it is both amazing and fitting into this box that the world is going to accept, I highly encourage you to reach out to a mentor, get some coaching, attend a workshop, talk to someone who has done it before. Even if it is a free workshop, you still have mm-hmm. to sign up for it.
May I add this as well?
Yes.
Not to be long-winded, but let me add this. Revision is your friend.
Yes.
I think what people are scared of or what they want to expect or what they want is that they put the work down, put the work on the paper, and that's it. But the work really goes into the revision process and really digging into the piece that you have created. And that's what these workshops and courses help you do, get the eye that you need for revisions. You essentially have a piece of stone and you want to carve out this beautiful sculpture. So your words are the stone that you have, and all of the revision that you're going through are the tools that you're going to get this beautiful piece of art out of. So yeah. It's your friend.
Absolutely. And another way to think about it, and I say this, y'all know I don't even like sports, so follow me on this one, follow me. But it's kind of like when you think about any sport, right? The game is only a couple of hours max. Mm-hmm. practice is every day, multiple hours. And you kind of have to think about your book like that. That finished product is on display. That's your game time. That's when you're showing everything off, right? But you're going to play like you practice. So if you are cutting corners, if you're skipping days, if you are not writing as often as you should, I'm not saying writing every day, as often as you know that you should be writing, if you are not seeking out and receiving feedback, if you are not being like, how can I do this better? If you're not pushing yourself in practice, if you're like, oh, I've got these words and I'm not going to delete them because I've already done them and I don't want to do it again. You know, that's the equivalent of an athlete being like, yeah, I'm not going to do this final run. I'm not going to do practice today. I'm only going to do the bare minimum. I'm going to like do a quick jog and that's it. When they get to that game, they're going to play like they practice. It's not going to be top form. And the same will be true of your book. You didn't do everything that you could have done when you had the time to do it. And now that it is finished, it may not be what you thought it was going to be. So when you have the time, put it in, put the work in, right? Mm-hmm. I know he's not with us anymore, but you know, Kobe was in the gym shooting at like 4 a.m.
That's exactly who I was thinking of was Kobe Bryant.
And honestly, this is a slight tangent, but when I'm over here, like, I don't want to do this. I say to myself, it's like, okay, but was you with me shooting in the gym though? Like when people come to me, and they're like, Chelsea, but I put in so much work. It's like, I deserve this. I was like, but were you with me shooting in the gym? Were you up redoing these words? Were you reading craft books? Were you getting feedback from people? And when they ripped it apart, were you like, okay, I'm going to take this to heart and actually make it better versus just sitting in your feelings? Were you with me shooting in a gym?
Right.
Okay. That's my rant. Thank you for coming. Yeah.
Speaking of craft books, we also have a craft book that we published last year in June, edited by a Pulitzer Prize winning poet, Jericho Brown, called How We Do It. And that book is also a book of craft of everything from developing characters to voice. Essentially, each person that contributed to the book basically was writing on the perspective of, when I was an emerging writer, what advice do I wish I had had? Mm-hmm. And so each of those contributors speak to a certain aspect of the writing journey. So that's also available on Amazon. So if you're looking for a craft book, Hurst & Wright did publish a craft book last year. How We Do It is what it's titled.
Okay. When I'm in between projects, I like to really get into my craft and reflect on what I did and what I can take with me. Mm-hmm. So my current project, the thing that I'm working on heavily, is plotting, because I was very much a pantser prior to this. I'm like, let me get my organization down. Let me get plotting things out to the end. And I've been reading a lot of craft books centered around that. I know in between this project and my next one, I want to look more into how are other people tackling this process as a whole, right? So personally, if you're listening to this, one of the things that I plan to do this year is to get into that particular craft book. So if you want to know that you are reading a book that I'm also going to plan to read, because y'all know how I am with books, don't hold me to it. There you go. All right, we are coming up on 45 minutes though, so I have a couple other things that I want to touch on before we wrap up. One of them being that you mentioned that the Hurst & Wright Foundation offers awards for authors. I submitted my book for one of them this year, so hopefully it goes well. For those listening, can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes, so we have an awards program called the Legacy Awards, where we honor a writer in the categories of general fiction, debut fiction, speculative fiction, poetry, memoir, historical nonfiction, and this year we added creative anthology and nonfiction anthology. We have anonymous judges who are also award-winning judges in their genre read and select a finalist who is then awarded in that category. We have an awards ceremony that happens in October of each year celebrating this award. If you have a published work, it has to be published the previous year that we're having the award ceremony. So this is 2024, so you would have had to publish your book in 2023. You can be self-published or traditionally published to submit. If it was published in another country, it could be published in America in 2023. Also, it is a way to market your book as well. If you're looking in those terms, that your book has won a book award, and it's one of the ways that we honor our Black writers.
And I appreciate that, because if you guys are listening to this podcast, then you'll know that I'm indie published. I'm not traditionally published. So being able to find awards that are like, hey, we welcome everyone, all of that stuff can be overwhelming, especially when you are trying to navigate it on your own. Like, you don't have an agent, you don't have a marketing team, you don't have these people advocating for your book. Like, you are your advocate, you are your team. Foundations like this? Situations, circumstances. Yeah. I'm not sure which word I was looking for, but basically look into things like this where it's welcoming, and also when it's specifically for Black authors, because one of the things that I personally feel strongly about is when you get feedback as an author and it's essentially, oh, the book was great. It was amazing. There was nothing wrong with it, but it was Black. When your feedback basically amounts to that, it makes you feel some type of way, speaking from personal experience. So if you have the opportunity to submit your book to a Black foundation, a Black award, it does make a difference. And I'm saying that hoping that it will be different. I haven't won the award. I don't know how it'll go, but I have confidence that my book isn't going to be judged harshly because it's got an all Black cast in it. Mm-hmm. Whereas I have been judged harshly for that in other contests. Everybody has different things that they're trying to get out of their career. If acknowledgement of your talents is one of those, because you want the awards, you want the accolades, you want the recognition, that's valid. Just make sure that you're entering into a competition that's going to be judged fairly. That's what I'll say.
Yes, thank you. Rita Dove was the Poet Laureate in 1993 to 1995, and we awarded her a merit award. So merit award goes along with the Legacy Award. Mm-hmm. So those that have submitted their books published the previous year will win an award and will be presented with that award at the ceremony. But also those who have spent a lifetime doing something that uplifts Black work, Black literature, if they're a writer, or maybe I think this year we honored someone who created a platform that made Black literature more available. So that person was an advocate towards the work of lifting up Black writers. So we have merit awards, we have the Legacy Awards. We really want to honor the people, Black people that are capturing our stories, capturing our voices, and elevating it and showing that we do have a space in this community.
We are coming up on the end of the podcast. What writing advice would you give to any new authors just starting out on their writing journey? I know that we've given a lot throughout this episode, but like, you as a person who has lived, who has been in multiple arenas of this writing industry, and someone who is now, you know, helping others and encouraging writing programs and things of that nature, someone's like, hey, first step of the journey, what advice would you give them?
First step of the journey, I would reiterate something that we're saying in terms of finding a community. If you're starting out on your writing journey, find a community, whether it's on Facebook, Twitter, or X. There's Black writers of Instagram, Black writers of TikTok. People are sharing information about their journey. They're setting up times to write together, creating writing schedules, accountability partners. So I would start with finding a community. Connect with the Hearst of Wright Foundation. Those are ways to hold you accountable for your craft, for improving, for continuing to take it serious, because it's like if you're working out and you're trying to lose weight, usually when you connect with someone else that's trying to lose weight, you are more likely to achieve your goal because there's a partnership. So that would be my first suggestion.
And I agree. If y'all are listening to this podcast, y'all know that I am a huge advocate of community, of finding your people, of finding the folks who will hold you accountable.
I have a Discord server for Black authors, so if you're ever interested in joining, feel free to hit me up and I will send you the link. And you know, on my YouTube channel, I do writing sprints on Thursdays at 11 o'clock. So come write, be productive. There is something serious about having someone hold you accountable and just knowing that, hey, while I'm in here in my room typing, trying to like pour the story out onto the page, someone else is also doing this at the same time. We're doing this together. We're encouraging each other. We're being like, okay, one more sprint. We got this. And it's helpful because yeah. We all have moments of weakness where that exhaustion, it hits. And that writer's block, it hits. And the frustration, it sets in. And you're just like, I don't even want to do it. And it's helpful to have someone in your corner be like, nah, you got this. We're going to do it anyway. Yeah. Or just knowing that, hey, if I bail, they're not going to have anyone to write with. It helps. That accountability, man, yes. It's something else. It is something
If you are looking for a Facebook group, we have one called World of Black Writers. So we're on Facebook. It's called A World of Black Writers. In that Facebook group, we post awards, any information beneficial to Black writers. We post in that group prompts, things to reflect on that may help you on that writing journey. And that's free. So that's one place that you can begin as an emerging writer.
And there you go. So that being said, will you please let the people know where they can find you? I'm pretty sure we've covered all the links, but just as like a refresher.
Hurst and Wright Foundation on Instagram. It's Hurst and Wright Foundation on actually on all of our platforms. If you are unable to find those places, www.hurstandwright.org is the easiest place to find us. Everything that we talked about today on this podcast is there, the awards, the classes, the courses, and our social media connection, submittable, everything you can find there.
Awesome. All right. That is it for this episode of the Written and Melanin podcast, you guys. If you'd like to support this podcast, then please share it with someone you think may enjoy it. Join the Patreon at patreon.com/writtenandmelanin or grab a copy of my books from my website, cmlockhart.com. There are links in the show notes for everything. And thank you guys again so much for listening. And until next time, I hope all your books are full of melanin.